everyone, both those of you here in the sanctuary and those of you joining us online, as we are continuing in a message series titled Live It. Live It. And we have said, you know, sometimes in the midst of this coarse and divisive time in our culture, it is important that we Christians live it. That we live it, that we live out our faith, that we shine our light so that people can see that, hey, there is something different about a person who says, yes, Jesus Christ is the Lord and the Savior of my life. But let me ask you this. Was there ever a time when you observed a Christ follower, a Christian, that didn't reflect the character and the actions of the Christ that they were following? And if so, how did you feel about that? I remember back in, as I graduated and I had my first job, I went to work out of college on the staff of a church as their business manager. And I was shocked to discover that not everyone who claims to be a Christ follower always acts like one. Who knew? I was young. I didn't know. People in the church would sometimes say and do inappropriate things. I said, what? People in the church where I was working sometimes would say and do mean things. Not only to each other, but sometimes to me. What? And then people in the church sometimes do and they say hurtful things. And you know, I just, I just hadn't really known. I guess I'd always been a part of the church, but I just had not really been kind of in the middle of what leaders in the church often, you know, are dealing with. But this woman who was mentoring me in my job, she would hear me express my frustration about this. I'm young in faith, trying to figure it out, and she's been there for a bit, been down the road, and she would try to help me to understand that, hey, not everyone who comes to church is in the same place. People are at different stages in their levels of maturity in Christ. And so, you know, she was saying, you got to extend people grace. They're not everything that God wants them to be yet. The church is, you know, it's not a place for saints, but it's a hospital for sinners. So we got to understand that. But I had the expectation that a lot of people do, that if you're part of the church, you ought to act like Jesus. And of course, that's a reasonable expectation, but I have come to learn that there often is this gap between expectation, you know, what we think and how things ought to be, and reality. There's this gap. There's this gap, you know, and we have to wrestle with what are we going to do about the gap? The fact is, no one in the church is perfect, including yours truly. Hello? We are all a work in progress. A work in progress. We all fall short, but we're trying to become more Christ-like, more like the Christ we are following day by day. In a previous message series a few years back, I talked about four stages of spiritual growth, and all of us are probably somewhere along this continuum. Either we are exploring the faith. You know, sometimes people come and they say, I haven't even decided that I believe yet. I'm exploring. I'm checking it out. And then others say, you know, I've crossed the line of faith. Where I'm at is I'm growing, man. And, you know, that's where I kind of was when I was new out of college. I was growing. I was trying to figure it out. I was a lot of things I didn't yet understand. Then there are people who are closer in their expression and in their faith and in their understanding. And then finally, in every church, there are people who I would say are centered. They are centered in their relationship with Christ. And there are some characteristics that you see about who they are and how they act and how they live. And it's obvious as you get to know them. Here's a person who has come through these stages, but at this point in their life, they are centered, they are anchored, and it's evident. So we're all a work in progress, but we have to be aware that the expectation, both inside as well as outside the church, is that if we say that we are followers of Jesus, we should act and we should speak and we should respond like he did. That's the expectation. And that's a tall order for all of us, but it's one we need to wrestle with daily in our Christian walk, because though none of us is perfect, God does have expectations for us. In fact, God's plan for us, get this, is to bear what? Much fruit. Much fruit. That's right. He wants our lives to be such positive forces for good in the world that people will take notice and they'll be impacted and they'll be inspired to do likewise. And that is a tall order too. But it's all possible. It is possible because of this relationship that we have with God through our faith in His Son Jesus. Jesus put it this way in John 15:5. He said this. He said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear what? Much fruit. Much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing." Now, if we abide in Christ, if we cultivate our relationship with Him through prayer and reflection and study and action, as the Holy Spirit works among us, we will bear much fruit. Our lives will have a tremendous spiritual impact for all of eternity. You think about that. You and I have a one and only life, but God can take it and use it to impact all kinds of things for eternity. That is something to think about. You and I, we were created to bear much fruit. Much fruit. Last week, so we started this series titled, Live It. Live It. And in our text from Galatians 5, Paul says this. He says, live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. He also says, keep in step with the Spirit. So we're talking about living by the Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We're getting specific about that, but it's interesting that before Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, he contrasts that with the acts of our sinful nature. So he talks about, there's this fruit of the Spirit, but there are also these acts of the sinful nature. And so he says in Galatians 5:19, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft. And then last week, remember, we talked about this next part of the list that is very descriptive almost of some of the things going on in our world now: hatred and discord and jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. He says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So the fruit that God is calling us to bear is contrary to the works of our sinful nature. There is this battle that we are in between God's Spirit and our sinful nature, and it's a spiritual battle, and we're in it. So what do we do? Well, the first thing Paul says is we have to acknowledge the acts of the sinful nature. We have to admit that there is this struggle. But through our faith in Jesus Christ and what He has done for us, we have the opportunity to live a new life, a different life, a life that is set free from the passions and the desires of the sinful nature. So we live by the Spirit. We're no longer captivated by this impulse to just automatically gratify the sinful nature. Instead, Paul says, do this: crucify the desires and passions of the sinful nature. We live by the Spirit. We walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and through the Spirit's power at work in us, we cultivate this amazing fruit from on high. Paul says in Galatians 5:22, he says, okay, so here's the fruits, or here's the sinful nature. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let's share those. Let's read those together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. This is what we want, to be bearing the fruit of the Spirit, to see these various virtues breaking forth in our own lives. So how does it happen? How is it that we cultivate the fruit of God's Holy Spirit in our lives? Well, in a nutshell, there's our part and there's God's part. And simply put, I would say it like this. We abide, God provides. We abide, God provides. Our part is to abide in Christ, to stay connected with Him, to come to faith in Him and then stay connected, to follow Him, to learn from Him, and yes, to try and act like Him. So we pray and we study, we listen, we learn. We do all that we can to let the Spirit move in our lives and help cultivate this fruit within us. And God, we abide, God in turn provides. We abide, God provides. Again, Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who what? Those who abide in me and I in them bear what? Much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. God causes His Spirit to live inside of us and to become more and more evident in our lives. As we make room for more of God's Spirit in our lives, we begin to experience love, joy, peace. So today, I want to talk about the experience of more of that fruit of the Spirit as we begin to talk about what it means to cultivating patience. Patience. So you might ask your spouse or a close friend, am I a patient person? Yes or no? In fact, turn to your neighbor. Just turn to your neighbor. Ask the question, as you know me, am I a patient person? Yes or no? Now, I don't know about you, but me, if I have to answer that question, I would say, I think that I'm a patient person, except when I'm not. Yeah, I'm a patient person, except when I'm not. We don't naturally come by patience. I found this poem about patience. I don't know if it's very helpful or not. It goes like this. Patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Found seldom in a woman, never in a man. I don't know. I don't know if that's helpful at all. I don't even know if there's any truth to that whatsoever. But we all struggle with patience, of course. And there are a lot of things that are working against us. One thing the Holy Spirit can do to help us to cultivate the power of His fruit in our lives, patience, is to enable us to recognize what encourages impatience. So let's talk about what encourages impatience. I think of several things. One, we live in a constant, instant gratification world. We're used to having things when we want them, and we want them right now, instantly. And yet, when somehow that doesn't work out in our world, we get upset. We get impatient. Another factor, no margin. No margin. We live our lives, we fill them up with activities so that there are so many things we're trying to accomplish, there's no room for anything else, no margin. We don't allow for the unexpected. And then when the unexpected happens in traffic, on the job, at work, in our families, we don't have adequate time to deal with it. So this is one of my signature sins: lack of margin. I'm always trying to, you know, just pack all these things in, and I've got my list, and this is the way it's supposed to go, and then inevitably it doesn't go that way. And what happens? I get grumpy. I get grumpy. I am no fun. Ask my wife. I am no fun because there ain't no margin and it didn't go like I wanted. And she says to say, you know, honey, I love you, but I got to go somewhere else. And she's gone. Grumpy because I have no margin. So it's my fault too. I could have done something differently, but I didn't. Stress encourages impatience. We live in a high expectation, high octane, highly stressful culture, and when stress is on the rise because we're trying to juggle too much, impatience happens as well. Selfishness. The root of our impatience is often our unselfishness. I should say our selfishness. We say, I get impatient because you inconvenience me. I'm getting impatient here because, you know what? You are slowing me down. Or I'm getting impatient here because you don't get what I'm trying to say. Why can't you get what I'm trying to say? I'm getting impatient when you don't do what I want you to do. So it's helpful to recognize some of the root causes of our impatience. But guess what? We can, here's the thing, we can decide to make adjustments. We can decide that things are going to be different around here. So we can root these things out of our lives. We can say, you know what? I'm going to build in some margin. I'm going to allow a little bit more time for the unexpected to happen. For there to be time for God to work. For God to show up. You know, how many times does God want to do something and he's trying to fit himself into our life and we don't have any margin for him? God, I mean, you know, can you call me back in a couple of weeks? Because I just can't work it in. I can't. That isn't how it needs to work. We can decide to deal differently with all the people in our lives, particularly the EGRs, the extra grace required people. You have those folks in your life? Yeah, we all have them. And oftentimes I say, Lord, you know, I just pray. I'm praying for this person. Will you please, you know, help change them? Help them see that when they do this, it's just this way. And, you know, God can do that. He can change people. But what I've discovered is often what he wants me to do, the place where I can really start, is to work, let him work in me. And maybe give me some extra grace. Paul says this, Colossians 3:13, bear with each other. Right there. And forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive, he says, as the Lord forgave you. Man, forgiveness, grace for the EGRs in our lives. We can ask God to begin the work within us. Hey, you know, sometimes what we need to do is just step back a little bit and maybe ask God to help us to reframe the situation. We might pray, Lord, you know, help me to see what you want me to see in this situation. Or Lord, help me to understand what you want me to understand here. Or Lord, help me to learn what you want me to learn in these circumstances. And then listen, and see if in fact you don't hear a whisper from God. So God wants to help us in cultivating love and joy, peace, patience. How about kindness? He wants to help us in cultivating kindness too. The fruit of the Spirit can make such an impact in our everyday world. Mother Teresa said this, "Kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are truly endless." Truly endless. Mark Twain said this, "Kindness is a language which the deaf can hear and the blind can see." You can never experience too much kindness, and you can never extend too much kindness either. The world can always use more kindness. Amen? Jesus saw the central place kindness should have in our lives. In Matthew 7:12, he said, "So in everything you do, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." Great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then this golden rule, do to others as you would have them do to you. These are the things that sum up the law and the prophets. So how can we cultivate kindness? Well, the Holy Spirit, again, can help us practice kindness. Practice kindness. Lord, help me to practice it. What kind of random acts of kindness might we extend every day? Mother Teresa said this, "Small things done with kindness will change the world." We often don't realize that our little small acts of kindness have a huge impact. So offer people a smile or give someone a greeting. Open the door for others. Or maybe let them go first. Or look for the person who needs extra help and offer it. Write a note. Send an email. Help someone who is struggling. We practice kindness and we celebrate the results. When you and I are kind, we often do see the results of our acts of kindness. One small act of kindness can produce tremendous difference in the life of a person who is struggling. Remember the movie Pay It Forward, 2011. It came out. It was a reminder of the impact that a simple small acts of kindness can have. Remember little Trevor. He was in class and his teacher presented this challenge. What are you going to do to help change our world? And so he came up with a plan. He was going to help three other people. Just three other people. He said, "Lord, you're going to help three other people in a big way. In a big way. In such a big way that there'd be no way that they could pay back what he did. But what they could do is pay it forward." He says, "I'm going to find three people and encourage them to find three people." And in the movie, you know, you see how this thing caught on and how it impacted so many different people from so many different places in life. We practice kindness, we celebrate the results. But there are positive results that actually come our way as well. Studies have shown that small, regular acts of kindness lead to the highest levels of well-being and happiness. Kind people, it turns out, are happy people. These small acts of kindness often offset negative aspects of health brought about by the stress of life. So if we will happily punctuate our day with small acts of kindness, our health will be positively impacted. God wants us to bear spiritual fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. How about cultivating goodness? God wants us to cultivate goodness. Again, this quality grows best in us when we are abiding in Christ, when we're staying connected with Him through regular practices, things like prayer and being in worship and study and serving others. When we are growing deeper in our relationship with Jesus, we become more and more aware of His blessings and His spiritual power at work in us. And so, like David of old, we have well up within us this gratitude. Psalm 116:12, we want to say, "How can I repay the Lord for all His goodness to me?" And that's a great place to be, isn't it? Aware of all of God's goodness and hoping to somehow respond in gratitude and thanks. And though we don't deserve God's goodness and we're unable to pay it back, what can we do? We can pay it forward. You can offer your special gifts to God and to others. I marvel at the way that so many people use their gifts, offer them up to God and service to others, both inside the church and outside. Some people sing, others tutor, some teach, others paint. Some are coaches or referees, others are more behind the scenes. Some are evangelists, others are servants. Some are leaders, others are helpers. But every action that you and I take for God and for the goodness of others makes the world a better place. So offer your special gifts. And as I wrap it up, I would share this sobering report. Many unchurched people today, unchurched people say this, I like Jesus, I just don't like some of his followers. They're mean-spirited, judgmental, hypocrites. I don't want to be around them. And if and when we are those things, I get it. I wouldn't want to be around you or me either. And yet, when we are abiding in Christ, when we are growing in grace and living by the Spirit, and we're letting the Spirit cultivate within us the fruit of God's Spirit, then that is naturally what happens. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness just begins to well up. And when that is happening, others realize, well, you know, well, wait a minute. There is something about them. In fact, I can appreciate, you know, who they are and some of what they do. I don't even always agree with who they are or what they do, but I can appreciate them, and I don't mind being around them. In fact, I am a little bit inspired by them. I am a little bit encouraged, and I'm interested in the Christ that they serve. So, I want to encourage us to cultivate our relationship with God. And let's do our part. Our part is to abide. We get connected with Jesus, then we stay connected. And then we let God do his part. His part is to provide. To provide this Holy Spirit power within us that begins over time to change us and to reflect who God is through us. Remember this, as you live by the Spirit, God's fruit flourishes in you. So let's pray. Let's pray about that today. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, gracious Master, loving Lord, we are grateful for the one and only life that you have given us. We are grateful for the countless blessings you've bestowed upon us in this life through your Son, Jesus Christ, through your Holy Spirit, the seal of our salvation, and through your Word, we have the opportunity to grow in our relationship with you day by day. And we want to do it. We want to bear fruit that makes a difference, fruit that has an impact in our world. Lord, as we grow in this love relationship with you, as we learn more and more what it means to abide in you, to be connected with you, to stay established in you. Enable us by the power of your Holy Spirit to cultivate more love, more peace, more joy, more patience, more kindness, more goodness. We need it. Our family and friends need it. Our world needs it. Lord, help us to be mindful. Help us to be practical. Help us to be fruitful this day. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen, as we...